This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Steph Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And we are back with another feminist around the world, except we're doing it a little differently today. I decided because the Women's World Cup is happening and I'm not paying attention to it enough as I should, I feel like at least we should talk about it at the very least. And we talked about it a little bit before because we're discussing what this month will be about. But are you watching any of it?
No. So I told you I have a friend who's really into it and you'll probably hear from soon. It's going to come on the show. And I watched two matches with her that I very much enjoyed because her passion shines through. And I love soccer, but without her, I'm not keeping up. Although today she did send me a bunch of Instagram stories about the game that happened last night. So I'm like keeping up through her, I guess, is what I'm saying.
So was it the U.S. match with Portugal?
Yes.
Because I'm seeing a lot of things. So as per usual, me being me, I'm keeping up through TikTok with the people letting me know what's going on. And apparently this is the queerest World Cup ever. And I'm really excited to know why. There was a few things that were like, watch this and watch this. And I know at one point, like one cute couple were giving each other a kiss while someone else was holding them up. I know another are getting like another TikTok was about how different players are getting around the rainbow armband.
Yeah.
Super interesting. I love seeing stuff like that. But today, and Annie, I'm going to just talk at you. So listeners and Annie, get ready because I know very little about this detail. I researched a little about this and I want to know more about it. And I know already that we're going to have listeners who can tell me all about it. So I'm excited for the email and hopefully the messages we get about it.
Yeah.
Because we're going to take a historical look. And yes, and we'll probably follow up with other episodes on what is happening in the World Cup today or this year. And for some context, today is August 1st, 2023. Yes, we're recording it on the day we're releasing it. That's how I do. I'm sorry, Christina. I love you. Yeah, and there have been many exciting things happening. Again, we're going to talk about it eventually. Again, I know many listeners, y'all are really good at letting us know what's going on and things that we need to know about. So keep telling us. Send us those things because we love that. And you know we're going to feature y'all because we need to know this information. But we wanted to take a look at the historic Copa 71, which was one of the most successful women's soccer tournament, honestly, and it's also known as the 1971 Women's World Cup. So if you know anything about this, that's way before the first FIFA World Cup. But something fascinating. This year, a documentary is being released, taking a look at this amazing tournament and how it was almost deleted from history and how little people know about it, including myself. And here's a quote from a write-up in Variety about it. Copa 71 recounts the story of the 1971 Women's World Cup, one of the most successful female soccer tournaments of all time, where lavish sponsorships, extensive TV coverage, merchandise on every street corner, and over 100,000 fans turned the historic Azteca Stadium in Mexico City into a cauldron of noise, while the fawning media treated the players like rock stars. In August 1971, teams from England, Argentina, Mexico, France, Denmark, and Italy gathered in Mexico City for a watershed football tournament, which sparked the explosion of women's football around the globe and was a catalyst that led to the 2015's Women's World Cup final gaining TV audiences in America larger than the NBA finals. And if y'all remember that one, that was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge. The World Cup is getting bigger and bigger. Of course, kind of like soccer in the U.S. in general, until the U.S. has something to, like, big part of it, we don't notice. And it makes me sad because I do. This is probably one of the sports I really do enjoy. I kind of forget about it until I start watching it. I'm like, oh, really? I know nothing about the sport, but I really like it. It's kind of obvious. They're going from one side to the other. They're not being, like, they are kind of being angry. There are definitely moments of like, oh, no, don't do that. But it's exciting. It keeps going. I really love watching it. And then, like, being with the fans. The first time I ever watched it was watching the Euro Cup in England when I was visiting England and watching it at a pub. And the love people had for this game and the excitement. I was like, oh, damn. Don't say anything bad because I might get a beer bottle in my head. It was that intense. It was one of those matches. And then people were like, we're going for this team and this team. And I was like, I have no idea what's happening, but this is amazing. And it made me love it. And this was like early 2000s when I was traveling the world by myself. But with that, it is freaking exciting. We did watch it. And the women of the U.S. team has made a lot of history for us, especially for a lot of women in general, trying to get that money. And when I say get that money, just being paid the equal amount. We're not saying they want more. We're saying they want a livable wage for doing something that is really demanding and taxing of their body and representing a country. So, you know, seems reasonable, but hey, who's to say? But let's take a look at the soccer timeline, Annie. Now, if you talk about soccer today, we know that it is football everywhere else. Okay, so I will be going back and forth. I'm sorry to the overseas listeners who are like, stop saying soccer. I'm still American. I'm trying, y'all. I promise. And as we go through this, it's going to sound very similar to the Olympic episode that we had and all of the bad things that they thought women couldn't do and should do, shouldn't do, when they should do it, and who allows them to do it. So very reminiscent of that. I kept going back. I'm like, wait, did we talk about this? Because it sounded so familiar, Annie. Like, I'm like, why is it so? Of course it is. Just of course it is, you know. So the official timeline would start in the late 1800s. However, much like when we talk about firsts, Annie, you and I talked about this, it has to be remembered games similar to this was already being played by so many in the world, especially in like Latin America, as well as in areas of what we know as China. So like we'll talk about the Han Dynasty a bit. Literally one line, but you know, whatever. And so I'm going to make a lot of people angry by reminding people that culture is often stolen or taken and credited to those who are in power. But that's my one bit. Don't be mad at me. But if you know, you know. I feel like our listeners know, but just in case someone hits up and they're like, I thought we were talking about football. And I'm like, colonization. Just as a reminder. Again, the first recorded, again, emphasis on recorded, match was the 1872 match between Scotland and England, and was the first recognized match by FIFA, who we know who that is, right? And was watched by 4,000 people. And according to a Vox article, the first recorded international women's match was in 1881, where the women were playing in high heel boots, which, by the way, was also between Scotland and England. Here's a description from Vox. Players wore jerseys, stockings, knickerbockers. I love that word. I love that word. I don't know why. It makes no sense. But there you go. Knickerbockers. Just going to pepper that in every now and again. Do you have your knickerbockers in a bunch? So, anyway, knickerbockers, belts, high-heeled boots, and cowls on the field. Media reports were peppered with bemused and condescending sentences, including, "The game, judged from a player's point of view, was a failure, but some of the individual members of the team showed that they had a fair idea of the game."
Wow, a fair idea. Hmm.
I was thinking of doing that in an English accent, but I did not want to, again, insult.
It would have been an insult, but now I'll always wonder about it. Yeah, that's all right.
There you go. There you go. Anyway. And unsurprisingly, they were not well received. In fact, they were booed off the field. Of course, in the article, they're like, it could be just because of the game and that's what they do. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless. And though they weren't celebrated or even welcomed, women have been playing since the beginning, with historical evidence going back as far as the Han Dynasty in 25 to 220 CE. Women have been doing this. There have been records of them doing it for a long time. So in 1894, Nettie Honeyball established the British Ladies Football Club, which continued to push against the sexist discrimination of the game and game organizers. Which, by the way, Honeyball, what a perfect name for a person who wanted to do something with football.
So good.
Am
so
I right?
Good.
So
yes.
Good. So good. And the ladies had some success, even having up to 53,000 people in the crowd for a match. And the organizers did exactly what you would expect. They got upset and banned the ladies, saying, "The game of football is quite unsuitable for females and ought not to be encouraged." Again, not doing it in the accent I want to because I know how bad I am.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And though the different organizations tried to ban, it wasn't successful. All around the world, women started their own leagues, such as the English Ladies Football Association. And in 1970, the Federation of Independent European Female Football, FIFF, F-I-E-F-F, with the support of the famous wine and alcohol makers Martini and Rossi, hosted the Women's World Cup, which led to the 1971 Women's World Cup, hosted in Mexico, played in the largest stadium in North America at that time.
Mm-hmm.
This tournament was huge and a success, but we really don't know much about it. So here's another quote from the Variety article. Copa 71 was organized by the Italy-headquartered Federation of Independent European Female Football, FIFE, and was set up in Mexico because it had just hosted the men's 1970 FIFA World Cup. The existing infrastructure of the Azteca Stadium and enthusiastic support of local sponsors made a women's tournament not only appealing, but commercially savvy. Yet, as the event came together, FIFA tried to prevent it from happening at all. While it did go ahead and proved to be a smashing success, its legitimacy was undermined from the get-go, and the event failed to receive the international acclaim and attention it deserved. So, the game itself was made up of six teams. Again, Mexico, Denmark, Argentina, Italy, France, and England, with Denmark winning the whole World Cup. The basis of this documentary is an unfolding and retelling of this historical tournament. They talked to the ladies of the tournament, which, by the way, apparently a few of them reunited in 2019. Would love to know about that. And they were finding out the good and the bad of that era. Many of the women talking about how amazing they felt at first and then being discriminated against throughout, even though they did an amazing, like literally up to over 110,000 people showed up to the stadium in 1971. And they sold out so many merchandise because of the plays. And BT Dubs, some of these players were as young as 13 years old. Some of the English teams that I was reading about, I was like, wow. Oh, wow. 13, 15, 19. What?
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is a reminder of how long this game has been around and how women and girls have been wanting to be a part of it since the beginning. So this is not something like, oh, men can do this. This looks like fun. It literally has been, oh, we're all playing. What just happened? Why can't we play?
Right.
Seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the ban in England for women's soccer team was lifted in 1970 when they figured out they can make some money. And the UEFA recommended that the national associations around the world should actually manage women's teams. Once again, let's make some money.
Mm-hmm.
And the first woman to be inducted to the National Football Museum was Lily Parr in 2002. And by the way, she was a part of a team that has been there since the beginning, essentially, when the women's organization was like, we're going to start teams too. So this mm-hmm. was one of those teams. And in 2008, 87 years after the ban, FA, who was one of the original organizations that banned women, actually apologized. Say, oops, sorry, our bad. So
yeah.
At least, I guess, some people got some recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the first FIFA World Cup was held in 1991. This is in my generation, like my timeline. And that makes me sad that a first like that happened in my mm-hmm. timeline. I feel very old. At the same time, this is a disgrace. Both of those things.
Yes.
And as we speak, the women of soccer are breaking records and pulling in the money and starting to get the money they deserve. And I say starting because we know this is still things and we don't know what's happening all over the world. We just know what was happening specifically in the U.S. when it comes to women getting paid the money they deserved. But yes, things are happening. As we talked about, you and I, the Philippines made some history. New Zealand mm-hmm. made some history. All these different players are making history, different stadiums, different like viewing and streaming. Historical records are being broken as we speak. I'm excited because we will do a roundup in these things. And yeah, we might have a special guest telling us what we should know.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Did send me a very funny video about like the differences between watching the U.S. Men's World Cup and the U.S. Women's World Cup, where basically in the U.S. Men's World Cup, you're like, who is that? Oh, they lost. And then the U.S. Women's Cup, you're like, it's this person, it's this person, this is all
right.
They won.
And I love that. And I love that. And I'm excited to hear more about it. And yeah, so
yes.
The World Cup is happening. Let mm-hmm. us know what's happening in your perspective, your world. You want to know about it or you want us to know about it. Also, again, documentarians Rachel Ramsey and James Erskine are the ones that have done this amazing documentary. I'm really excited for it. It is being released at the TIFF Film Festival, which I just really aged myself forever calling it something completely different. That is being released, I believe, this year. And I'm really excited because it is in line with Serena and Venus Williams's production company. So love to see that. Love seeing that being highlighted. I'm excited to see what it's about, who they talk about, because we get to learn more about these amazing women who have been erased from history. And I hate that.
Yes. Yes, I'm excited about it too. And we're also excited to hear from you listeners because, again, yeah, you do have so much insight a lot of times when we talk about this kind of stuff. And if you're having fun watching these games, you've got opinions, thoughts, please let us know. You can email us at stephanie@momstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok @StuffOneNeverToldYou. We also have a Tee Public store and a book. You can pre-order the audio version or the physical version at StuffYouShouldReadBooks.com. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Y'all the best.
Yes, you are. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.